In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Gospel lesson just read. When Queen Marie Antoinette would ride to Notre Dame in Paris, she gave orders that all beggars be kept out of sight. She did not want her days spoiled by seeing the misery and want of the people. Back in the 1960s, one of the watchwords within the synod was saving gospel, not social gospel. But that was a call to acknowledge Christ's compassion for souls through preaching and teaching for spiritual healing first, and then as the outgrowth mirror his compassion in social ministry. From Pentecost onward, the one priority has been this compassion of our Lord, and that only by his authority. For current and future pastors, the note of caution was sounded a recent few years ago by a rural Midwest pastor who wrote, "If you are a seminarian thinking of a career instead of the ministry, someone who wants to be a social worker instead of a pastor, or, God help us, a so-called change agent instead of a servant, don't come out here. But if what you want to be is a pastor who preaches, teaches, visits, and ministers the sacraments in a place where people come first, and programs, schedules, and other things always come second, then a place like this is a place you should seek." Jesus came to the people with, as we heard, a heart full of compassion. As he walked the streets and lanes of the towns and villages, he looked upon the multitude with sympathetic eyes. He reached out his hand to help them in their distress. To the blind he gave sight, to the deaf he gave hearing and speech. The demon-possessed he delivered from the devil's tyranny. No matter what the disease or sickness, Jesus was ever ready to touch them with his healing hand. And then he went to Calvary in his intense love to lay down his life for the souls of every sinner, that they be redeemed from the guilt of sin and the fear of death. Such a compassionate Jesus we behold in the Gospels. But he also saw in his compassion the whole world of humanity straying, erring, losing itself in the grief of sorrows and of death itself. They were scattered by doubt, unbelief, and indifference. They were lost in fear, self-pity, the worries of life. And no one cared for their souls, least of all the scribes and Pharisees. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the condition is no different today. Not only in foreign countries, but in our own country, in our own backyards. Would you and I seek to alleviate, to solve this dilemma and tragedy by our gimmicks and programs and entertainment? Jesus establishes the priority, teaching in preparation for the acceptance of the message, preaching the gospel itself, and giving proof of its divine character by the miracles of healing he performed. The message was and is always first. Or as the late Dr. Barry put it so succinctly, "Get the message out, Missouri, and keep the message straight." The gospel of the kingdom, Jesus proclaimed, not an earthly realm nor a social reformation, but a communion of believers in union with him as their head. Then Jesus came to give his life as a ransom that we be gathered into his fold. In him is found healing from the sickness and injuries of sin. In him is found assurance of his protection against the old evil foe. In him is found certainty and sight through the Holy Spirit amid the darkness of human philosophy. Jesus is just as compassionate today as he ever was. He continually offers himself in word and sacrament as the light, the hope, the Savior of the world. Since we know how much he loves us and everyone, he gives us this living, powerful, gracious gospel to go and to seek and to tell. His compassion is seen further in his authority used on behalf of his church and given to his church for the office of the holy ministry. First, he commands his church to storm the gates of heaven, as it were, with prayers, since the harvest belongs to the Lord, and therefore the numbers of those saved are known to him and will be gathered by him through his promised Holy Spirit, using his church and her pastors as his instruments. It is a question worth applying. By whose authority? By your brilliant insights, apart from the word? By your burning insides, apparently feeling Jesus just above the solar plexus? By lies or by their close relative statistics? By moralizing, telling humorous or tear-jerking stories, or using the authoritative sacerdotal projection screen in the sanctuary? Or will it be by the authority of the Word of God alone, as confessed in the historic creeds of the Church, as outlined by our Lord to the apostles for this vicarage of sorts on which he was sending them, as he told them, proclaim as a herald messenger, the kingdom of the heavens is near. Nothing is more surprising than the fact that Jesus chose these apostles from the common folk. Though hand-picked, they were not men of influence, men of means, not even religious leaders. And yet we can honestly say they turned the world upside down as they went forth to preach Christ crucified and risen. And they accomplished this because Jesus gave them power from on high and filled them with his Spirit, sanctifying and purifying their natural endowments for his service. And these are the great themes from our Lord's authority that are always in place. Absolve penitent sinners. Bring the spiritually dead to life. Prepare sinners for heaven through the means of grace. All this is a far cry from the popular conception of the pastor as a sort of public relations man who has been democratically chosen by the congregation to serve as some sort of executive secretary for a loosely knit group, or to make weekly public addresses that satisfy at least a majority, to officiate at various functions that the group may deem necessary for effective daily living, and then to serve as a private psychoanalyst for those having some sort of problems in adjusting to the stresses of modern life. The office of the Holy Ministry carries with it more freight than that in its blessed privileges and responsibilities. As a parish pastor, I can tell you students and future students that you will never exhaust the opportunities to proclaim the compassion of Christ in word and in deed through the pastoral office. But we keep the main thing as the main thing, as Jesus outlined here. And as C.F.W. Walther quoted Balthasar Denzer from the 17th century era of Lutheran orthodoxy, the apostles and all faithful teachers are called ministers of Christ, who serve as ambassadors in his stead and also God's co-workers. And quoting Solomon Daling from the same era, therefore they must perform their office diligently, reverently, and faithfully, and the hearers must ask God for faithful workers. In this matter, they must emulate the example of the apostolic church. Then let us, as did the apostles, acknowledge the priority of the Lord's mission as it is grounded in his blessed word, and submit to his authority given through the same word. Quoting Professor Marquardt, only as she is true to her own nature can the church be true to the mission of the Good Shepherd, who has compassion on the multitudes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.